This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Ed Gordon is away. Yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled against the use of what some state officials deemed medical marijuana. In a 6-3 vote, the majority argued that federal anti-drug policy overrides laws in 10 states that allow consumption of cannabis for medicinal purposes. Those states include California, Colorado, Montana, and Vermont. For more on the moral and medical impact of the court's decision, we're joined by one of the two plaintiffs in the case. Diane Monson is a California accountant suffering from degenerative spine disease. And we're also joined by Calvina Fay, executive director of Drug Free America Foundation, and Dr. Eric Voth, chairman of the Institute on Global Drug Policy. He's also a specialist in internal medicine and addiction medicine at Stormont Vail Healthcare in Topeka, Kansas. Thank you all for joining us.
It's good to be with you.
Thank you. Let me start with you, Diane. Now, this case has been in the works for several years. Why did you first decide to file?
Well, it was in August of 2002 that my home was raided, and in conjunction with the local county sheriffs, two federal agents came to my home. They were there to inspect a medical marijuana garden that they had seen in a flyover with an aircraft. So they came up in August of 2002 in the morning, very early one day, and in about a three-hour standoff, it became clear that there was a real problem in the state versus the federal government insofar as leaving me with my cannabis. In fact, in the end, they did take my six plants.
Now, let's back up a little bit. Tell us about your degenerative spine disease. Couldn't you just take some legal medication already on the market for it?
That is a good question, and in fact, I had been taking a variety of pharmaceutical drugs under my doctor's care for over 20 years, including many that have since been removed from the market, like Vioxx and Celebrex. In my opinion, cannabis is a lot more like aspirin than OxyContin, for instance. It helps a large population with many common ills, and there's a very low incidence of side effects. There's no overdose on record of any kind with cannabis, unlike, you know, even just over-the-counter drugs that I might use, such as aspirin, Tylenol, and drugs like that. Nothing is as effective for me as is cannabis.
And so when did you decide that you could actually grow marijuana according to state law? How did you decide to take that leap?
In 97, it was recommended to me by my primary physician. And then in 1999, I actually got a recommendation and put in my first garden.
Let me turn to Dr. Voth. You are listening to Diane Monson talk about her spinal pain and saying that there are no overdoses on marijuana and that some of the legal drugs like Vioxx that she used have been taken off the market. As a physician who's obviously very accomplished, does she have a point?
Well, unfortunately, she really doesn't. You know, the problem with marijuana is, and this has plagued the research, it's very, very difficult to tell whether the drug has any legitimate benefit versus simply intoxicating people. And I'll tell you, I treat dozens, if not hundreds of people for pain, including degenerative spine disease, and have never yet ever recommended marijuana. And I think, you know, that the overarching issue is here, there has to be a systematic, scientific way to bring drugs to market. And we can't just have this drugs by popular vote kind of phenomenon that has gone on in California and the other states.
Well, certainly there's a point that some drugs that were approved, like Vioxx, have then been taken off the market. Aren't there actually some side effects to drugs that have gone through the full FDA approval?
Oh, there sure are. And, you know, contrary to the allegations here, I mean, in fact, when you put marijuana into rigorous study, as many as 25% of patients actually drop out of those studies because they don't like the negative side effects with marijuana. So marijuana does have a lot of negative side effects. I mean, it causes what's called a dysphoric feeling, or, you know, the feeling of being stoned. Some people don't like that feeling. It causes trouble with coordination, difficulty with driving, difficulty with concentration. So there's a whole host of them that make it not a good, quote, medication, end quote.
Now, you mentioned problems with driving. There's certainly you know, questions of what drugs actually help patients and questions of the side effects of drugs. But let's take a look at alcohol. According to federal statistics from the Centers for Disease Control, there are about 400,000 tobacco-related deaths a year, 75,000 alcohol-related deaths a year. And then another federal initiative, the Drug Abuse Warning Network, or DAWN, says that there are 664 marijuana-related deaths a year, less than 200 of which pointed to marijuana as the only drug involved. How should the medical advisory committees to the federal government process the difference between the marijuana deaths and alcohol deaths? I mean, no one's suggesting that alcohol is a medication, but isn't it a dangerous substance that should be taken out of American circulation?
Well, two big considerations. I think alcohol is an excellent paradigm for why you don't want to legalize marijuana. If you consider, for instance, that even though both marijuana and alcohol are illegal for kids, kids use twice as much alcohol as they do marijuana, and there's one difference. Alcohol is legal and accepted and marketed and advertised, and marijuana isn't. So I agree, alcohol is a huge problem, and all the more reason to not put marijuana on the street. Now, the effect of marijuana does not have the same effect on the brainstem that alcohol does. Thus, it does not cause suppression of respiration and all that. It definitely is associated with trauma, though. There's all sorts of studies all over the medical literature on that. It's associated with car accidents, DUIs, et cetera. So to say that it somehow doesn't have negative side effects just simply is not accurate.
Let me get Calvina Fay in here. Now, you head the Drug Free America Foundation. I want to follow up on that whole issue of marijuana and alcohol. Speaking strictly about a drug, not legal or illegal, there are many legal drugs, including medications. Is alcohol a legal drug that you might do more good by trying to ban than marijuana?
You know, the whole issue of discussing alcohol in the same topic of marijuana as a so-called medicine is a perfect example of the mixed messages we're getting. You know, are we talking about a medicine or are we talking about an illegal drug that's addictive and impairing? And that's really what's going on with this issue of marijuana as a so-called medicine. It's a movement that has been totally financed by individuals and organizations that want to legalize not just marijuana but all drugs. I think it's very telling when you look at who the advocates are out there in the public pushing for marijuana as medicine. The organizations behind it, I did several interviews yesterday, and those representatives from those organizations are all organizations that are advocating for the legalization of drugs. Where do you draw the line if we let individuals and organizations with a hidden agenda push for marijuana as medicine? Do we then allow them to push for crack cocaine as medicine? Do we let them push for LSD as medicine and ecstasy as medicine? The truth is, when you smoke pot, you feel good. When you smoke crack cocaine, you feel good. When you do any of those drugs, you feel good. That's why people do them. But that does not mean that they're getting medical treatment for it. So somewhere we have to have a process. And our country, through the years, has worked very, very hard to create a very solid process. It requires that we do research, that we show through scientific research that a drug has medical efficacy, and then it goes through a very strict protocol before it's approved. And to totally bystep that process and ignore that process, it takes us back, really, to the Dark Ages. It takes us back to a time when we had snake oil salesmen out there declaring tonics and all kinds of things medicine and duping the American public. And I don't think we want to go back to those days.
Diane, let me get you in on this. We are talking about two different things. One is whether marijuana has any medical benefits, and one is what kind of drug it is along the spectrum of legal and illegal drugs. Do you consider yourself a crusader for legalization, or are you looking at this purely in a medical context?
Oh, absolutely not. I have no interest in legalizing all drugs. That is the farthest thing from my mind. The people who are involved in this movement to allow a very small population of people to use a specific helpful drug with the recommendation of their doctor as a private issue between their doctor and themselves, these people have their hearts and souls into this. This is not some sort of conspiracy to destroy America. My attorney, David Michael, my other attorney, Randy Barnett, they have done tremendous work here, and they have sacrificed tremendously to try and help for instance, seriously ill AIDS and cancer patients to have an appetite, to have some sort of a life that it hurts no one. I'm aware right now, for instance, there's a bill before Congress to make cannabis an exception to the Controlled Substance Act. There's another bill to remove, as I understand it, to remove cannabis from the Schedule I classification of drugs, which says there is no usefulness to the drug. Even cocaine is not on a Schedule I.
I'm going to have to jump in because you get to the point that we want to end on, which is what's going to happen next. We only have a minute and a half. Are you, Diane, going to file some kind of petition to move this legislation in the federal government forward?
Okay. I certainly am going to amicus brief and do anything I can to help. In my case, I consider myself under the jurisdiction of California authorities. I consider myself to be under the authority of the Butte County Sheriffs, and that's who I'm going to coordinate with in going forward. Right now, I do have a small cannabis garden started in my backyard, and I'm hopeful that I can continue and provide myself with the medicine that I need. I am very responsible. I have an excellent job. I have employed scores of people in my small town. I pay taxes. I have no interest in driving impaired. I have never done so.
All right, I'm going to have to jump in. Thank you so much, Calvina Fay. What are you going to do about impending legislation in Congress to try to legalize marijuana for medical use?
Well, we're going to continue to educate the public about the harms of drugs, including marijuana, and the fact that it's not a medicine. And I want to encourage those people that really do believe marijuana is a medicine to go for FDA approval. Why don't they do the research? Why don't they take it to the FDA for legitimate approval? And I know the answer to it. It's because it can't qualify, but that's the point. If it's medicine, let's get it declared properly as a medicine.
Dr. Both, very briefly.
It's not.
Should this go before the FDA?
Yeah, I think that the FDA is going to be the end point for this. And you've got to remember, either we've got consumer protection or we don't have consumer protection, and we need a systematic, scientific way where we don't have drug advocates getting a medicine put in front of the public by popular vote, where we run it through a scientific process. And all of those processes...
Dr. Voth, we're going to have to end right there. I'm sorry. Dr. Eric Voth, Chairman of the Institute on Global Drug Policy, Calvina Fay of Drug Free America Foundation, and Diane Monson, a plaintiff in the case. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.